encourage you to turn to Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20 in your Bibles or the Pew Bibles. We'll be looking at that passage as well as the passage in 2 Corinthians that Dee read earlier. You know, in your bulletin is a scripture verse. We always have a scripture verse at the very beginning. And this is from Habakkuk. It's telling us what the end game is for all of creation. So what's it moving towards? And the end game is, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And the waters cover the sea completely, so everything is moving towards people having a knowledge, not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Well, how does this happen? How do things move towards that goal? And it's that God has a purpose for us individually and as a church. As God's people, God created us to have meaning and purpose. And it's important for us as a church to always keep that purpose out in front of us. And it really should inform everything that we do in our own lives and in the life of the church, the way that we are seeking to organize our ministries and our outreach. Jesus gives us that purpose in Matthew 28. It's other places in Scripture as well, but it's here very clearly. And before we read that, let's again just join our hearts in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you have given to us your word that is a light to us, to give us a clarity about who you are and your will. So work within our minds and our hearts that we might glorify you in all things. For we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this message today is part of a bigger series that a couple of weeks ago I identified as the whole counsel of God. Our church is in a time of transition. It'll be more of a transition after I retire, but even now we're beginning that transition. We're beginning to look at some things and plan ahead for the future. And it can become a very confusing time, and hopefully not as confusing as it might be, because you have your session elders who are working hard to try to make this an easy transition. But these last few messages that I get to give are in the context of Paul said to the Ephesian elders that he preached to them, he taught them the whole counsel of God. And I'm trying to just kind of wrap up things these last few months. And part of the whole counsel of God includes, what is it all about? What's the purpose? And so this is our focus today. This is what directs our lives and our path as a church. So in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the close of the age. So what is the purpose to which we are called? It is to make disciples. And we begin with first our identity that we have, that we are Christ's disciples. We're here because we've made a commitment to Christ. We've come here to worship. We've come here to learn. So we are Christ's disciples. A disciple, when we look into Scripture and we look at how the disciples followed Jesus, we understand the disciple is someone who is learning more about God. So as Nick here said, you know, what is Sunday school about? We're learning about God. Who is God? What is God's call upon our lives? What is the good news? And, you know, what are we looking forward to in life? How is God with us in the midst of the difficult parts of our life? So these are the things that it's important for us to grow in as disciples. We're learning more about God, but we're growing in faith in the midst of that. The growing in faith is the part where we take that head knowledge and we're moving into what I would call heart knowledge, but it's where it really becomes a part of us. And for years I have felt like some of the things that I learned in seminary, you know, it's the theology, but then it takes a lifetime to grow into it, to really have it become part of our hearts. And I'm still growing in that. Met last week with a group of pastors. We meet once a month for mutual encouragement, and we never know the direction of where the discussion is going to go, but one of the guys there said, you know, I've been thinking about seminary and the way things are done, and, you know, what are the things that you appreciated about seminary? What classes would you have tossed out? And so we talked about that. Now, that's the head knowledge. We pretty much affirmed that we really enjoyed learning theology, learning about some aspects of ministry, but that there were certain things that we didn't learn that you just have to do on-the-job training. Then the question came up was, did you learn in seminary how to nurture your soul? That growing in faith. And, you know, the answer that we had as we responded to that was not so much. You know, there was chapel time, and in some of the classes, the devotions that the professors gave were just outstanding. In fact, in my church history class for James Bradley, people flocked to that class not just because of how he taught the history, but because of his devotions, which would sometimes last 20 minutes. And we were nurtured with that. But for the most part, we were so busy learning theology that the nurture of the soul wasn't there. But that's what a disciple is all about. Making disciples is having the head and the heart engaged, and then it moves out from there. So we are Christ's disciples. We can never allow just to know things about God, but we're always growing in our intimacy with God, taking the things we know about God and just letting them become ours. We don't have to think about, do I do this? Do I believe this? It's just there. And part of that is a disciple worships God. And that's why we're here, isn't it? Worship is important. Everything here that we do, even as you're sitting right now listening to me, everything that you're doing with your mind and with your heart is really engaging with God. You're maybe discerning is, you know, what does the scripture really say? You should also be discerning, is what Ron is saying accurate? Is it true according to the scriptures that are here? We're discerning those things. But everything should be worship. Certainly when we're praying, when we're singing, we're worshiping God. So worship the Lord is a mark of a disciple. And then we serve. And we're serving wherever God calls us. And it's different for each person. We have unique calls from God. But we want to be able to know what that call is. And sometimes that call changes over time. So I'm approaching retirement, and one of the questions that I get asked a lot is, well, what are you going to do after you retire? And you know, I'm kind of like right now the deer in the headlights, just kind of like, you know, 5 years ago I had a plan. God has made it clear that that's not the plan for right now. So we're still working with that. And I believe that God is going to be calling us. And sometimes the way that we live out God's calling is day by day. Just waking up and saying, thank you, Lord, you've given another day. What do you want me to do? And we try to follow what God calls us to do. And we look at the people that we encounter during the day as part of that call. God's going to put somebody in my path today, and I have something to do with that. So we serve where God calls us. So worshiping the Lord and serving the Lord are really just the same thing as what are the two great commandments. You know, the first is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's worshiping God. And the second is like it. In other words, the second comes from it. Because we worship God, who is the fountain of all joy and grace and strength and power, that we're able to love our neighbor, everybody else, in the same way that we love ourselves. In other words, the same way that we seek our own good, we're going to seek our neighbor's good. So we worship the Lord and serve the Lord. We learn and we grow. So we are Christ's disciples. Disciples are called to reproduce. We make more disciples. So we look at this passage in Matthew, and Jesus says, you know, go therefore and make disciples. Now he's talking to his disciples right there. Reproduce. Go make more disciples. Here's an important thing for us to understand. In the church in America today, the evangelical church, there's been an emphasis on individual salvation. So what's the gospel? Jesus died for your sins. Believe in Jesus and you're saved. That's it. There's more to it than that. Because we're called to be disciples, not just make a commitment to Jesus and that's it. And we're called then to reproduce and make disciples. So evangelism or witnessing is just a step to lead people to become disciples so that they also can make disciples. But in their being a disciple, they are desiring to learn more about God, grow in their faith, worship God, and serve Him. We notice in this that as to make disciples, Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so we do that. Now this is important because it gives us that understanding of who God is. This mysterious God who is one God, and yet there is a triune aspect. We call God, this aspect, the Trinity, that God has one nature, but three persons or personas. They're not separate entities, but one substance. Mind-boggling, but it's there in Scripture. And we see it here when Jesus says, baptizing in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Not in the names of, but in the name, the essence of this mysterious triune God. Now, something else in this passage points in that direction so that we're not misunderstanding it, but we're understanding that the full deity is there in Jesus, and because it's there in Jesus as well, we can take it to mean through inference that it's there in the Holy Spirit. But in Matthew 28, verse 17, when the disciples go up on that mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and they see him, it says they worshiped him. Scripture is clear from beginning to end that to worship anyone other than God is blasphemy. The disciples worship him. There is no problem in stating that. The message is clear in the New Testament. Who is Jesus? The Son of God. He is the fullness of deity expressed here on earth. And it's not three separate gods, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's not one God who has expressed himself in three different ways over time. In the Old Testament as the Father, in the New Testament as the Son, and now in the church age as the Holy Spirit. That's not the way it is. It's God who has always existed and will always exist as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That becomes important because of the nature of the good news, our salvation. It's tied into who Jesus is. So we baptize, we're making new disciples, we're baptizing them, setting them apart. They have a declaration of this is this new life in Christ, a new creation. They're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus says, teaching them to do all that he has commanded. All. And so we come back and we learn more from Scripture. What has Jesus commanded? What's all that's there? And Jesus even said that all of the Scriptures, which is the Old Testament at that time, that it bears witness to him. So everything here is what Jesus commands. And we learn, we grow in our faith, it becomes a part of who we are, and we worship, and we serve, and we make disciples who do that. So being a disciple means we reproduce disciples. And I mentioned we all play a part in God's plan, and it's all different. Each one of us plays a different part. But there is something that is true for all of us, that we are called to be witnesses. We're called, Jesus said, let your light shine before other people so they can see your good works and give glory to God. So the things that we do are to point towards God. But we're also called at times to share what's going on in our own lives with other people and what God is doing for us. A couple weeks ago, when we were talking about the whole counsel of God, one of the passages was in 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 15 was a part of that. And it's Peter's way of saying that, we're sharing the good news with other people. And he says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So that's the calling that all of us have, is to be a witness. What is the hope that is within you? And it is during the difficult times that we understand hope more. And we're called to hope in God, to believe that he's got the future under control. No surprises to him at all. And all things will work together for good, for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. So individually, we become witnesses, sharing the hope that is within us. But there are some who are called to be evangelists. We see this in Ephesians chapter 11. It's one of the places where the Apostle Paul is talking about the callings within the church. And he says, and he, God, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, he gave these different functions. So there are some people that are specially called to be evangelists. Billy Graham is the biggest example in our lifetime. But there are others. Some are known evangelists that perhaps you still can either read their works or go to their ministries and hear the gospel. But there are a lot of people who have the gift of evangelism that are in this community. We just don't know them. Or you might know a few of them. But not everyone is gifted that way. So we praise God that he has called some people with that gift of evangelism. The reason that I point this out is because it can become easy for us to have a little bit of guilt. I'm not out there sharing the gospel and evangelizing people like I should be. Well, that's probably true to a degree. We should be witnessing as God calls us to. In other words, sharing the hope that we have within us. But not all of us are evangelists. So this frees us up from feeling a burden that we have to be like a Billy Graham or being like someone who just so naturally can share the gospel with anybody that they encounter. So we praise God for him calling people in that role of evangelist. But the church also has this dynamic in looking at the great calling that we have of making disciples. It's not just left to us as individuals. So as we gather as the people of God, we organize our ministries in a certain way. So we have Sunday school, Vacation Bible School. We've got small groups. We have Bible studies so that we can be better disciples. That's part of it. Some of these have an outreach aspect, like Vacation Bible School especially, geared towards kids. And the idea is not just, well, we're sharing the good news so that they can make a confession of faith. We hope that's there. But long term, we want them to be disciples. So we organize in a particular way. We also organize our outreach, our missions. So we give to our missions that are out there that we believe are very holistic in their approach, so that they include an element of sharing the good news verbally, but they also are meeting some special need that is there. And it could be hunger, it could be having a village get clean water. Whatever it might be, there's some physical need that it's also touching. It's a holistic approach to sharing the good news. So we have, as a church, we play a role in God's plan of making disciples. And the good news in all of this, whether it be our individual call to share the hope that is within us, or for those who have the special calling as evangelists, and also for us as a church as we organize, is we're really not left to our own devices, our own ingenuity, our own strength, but Jesus is always with us. So we come back to Matthew 28, and it says this: the first thing out of Jesus' mouth to his disciples is, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. Jesus is supreme in his authority over all things. There's a lot of implications to that, so it means that we follow him as our Lord, but it also means that as the supreme authority over all, that he has power, and that power is made available to us. And then at the very end, the last thing he says, as after saying, make disciples, is, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This beautiful promise of his continued presence and help. And that presence and help is the one who has supreme authority and power. And he is with us to embolden us, to guide us, to bring those people into our lives where we can let our light shine. The task of all of us that Jesus gives is to make disciples. Remember, that begins with us viewing our discipleship, our own being a disciple of Jesus, very seriously. And then reproduce. And then believing, truly believing, and the supremacy of Christ, his help for us every day. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful to be called your disciple. I'm grateful that you give us direction. Grateful that you are with us always. So we ask that you would guide us each day, that we might fulfill the calling that you have given to us. It is through Jesus we pray. Amen.